And I could understand politics, but we can all agree there. Never mind. Not going there. Not going. This is not a politics series. Okay, but religion. People get really strange about that kind of stuff, especially if you know. The emotions are tense, and I don't think it needs to be. Can we all agree that sometimes we fight about things that don't need to be fought about? Can we all agree that sometimes when we're arguing, we're both arguing about the same thing, just different ways? It's like, I like blue. No, like I like azure. No, it's both blue. We end up arguing and we don't need to. And I think that's what comes with these two subjects, faith and science. I don't know if you've ever felt like you have to choose a side before, especially in like physics class or biology class. You know, especially if you get a teacher. I remember my physics teacher was super antagonistic towards me, and I was not very good at talking about what I believed. I kind of vomited the things I believe, and he was just like, "Okay," and it was really weird. But he was just really kind of a jerk about it, and it was kind of a sad thing because I don't think we need to be. You know, I think a lot of times, like I said, we feel like we have to choose: do I believe science, or do I believe God? It's like they can't play together. You know, it's like those two kids that always get in a fight. You have to keep them separated, like cats and dogs. No, see, science and faith are not cats and dogs. They actually play together very nicely if you let them. But a lot of times we don't let them. Okay. Everybody can find this. I know you have a Bible somewhere. If you don't, you can download it right now. Not your snap. No. Don't do the Bible app. Genesis 1:1. The Bible says this. You guys heard this verse before. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Bam. That's it right there. First verse, we got it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And then God fixed everything. Bam, done. Put it all in a pretty little bow on it. Did it. Now, this is where things get sticky, right? This is where they think God begins to get in a fight with all the scientists of the world. But see, the problem is this, is if we don't understand what the Bible says. Wait a minute. If you don't understand what science says, then we get all jacked up. And then we feel like we get put in a corner by our science teachers, our biology teachers, or you feel like you're put in a corner by your pastor, or a youth leader, or a youth worker, because all of a sudden you feel like, oh gosh, church is making me pick. I can't, but if the, and science, but they, and I don't want to get an F. Look, when it comes to some of these things, it's really not about choosing sides. And I love it because having faith does not mean that you have to stop thinking. Believing in God doesn't mean you have to ignore facts. Believing in God doesn't mean that you have to turn off your brain and check in at the door. It doesn't mean that you can't read this or that. No. I would challenge you this, is that the modern way we think today about science, the scientific method, remember hypothesis? Yeah. All the stuff Bill Nye talks about, well, maybe not all of it, but the fun stuff that Bill Nye talks about, that stuff is here today because of Christianity. It's true. And I don't know what happened to where all of a sudden, here we are today in 2015, that we think all of a sudden they turned on each other. Louis Pasteur, you guys know who Louis Pasteur is? He created milk. Or at least safe milk. He's the father of microbiology. Yeah, that's important. He helped create vaccines. Now, I know vaccines have a dirty rap right now, but that's why you don't have polio. Amen. Louis Pasteur said, a little science will estrange a man from God. Dang. But much science will lead him back.
That was good. That was good. Make me want to get a tattoo. No, I don't. I don't want to get a tattoo of that.
It says, a little science will estrange a man from God. But much science, when you know the full story, brings him back. I mean, just looking at these pictures, I went to the Griffith Observatory. If you're a nerd, then you need to go to the Griffith Observatory. I'm going to go back one day. And I got into a discussion with this astrophysicist about how sound waves keep the sun a circle. Don't even ask me how it works. It blew my mind. The best day ever. When you understand the depth, the complexity of everything around you, big and little, teeny tiny, it's just hard to say it's an accident. See, you don't have to turn your brain off to believe in God, but you don't have to turn your faith off to believe in science. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created science. The heavens and the earth, get it? See what it is? Can I just right there, bam. In the beginning, God created everything that science looks at. Now, the challenge is this. Science, I don't know if science will ever prove God. But I do know that science will never disprove God. And the reason is because of this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, before the heavens and the earth, there was God. See, here's the thing is, God doesn't live here. God exists outside of here. God's bigger than here. You find the edge of the universe and take another step and he's there. But God's outside the system. Kind of like the Matrix, but don't get too weird about that. God's outside the system. God exists outside of creation. Everything you see, sense, feel, look at, everything you could take a picture of, that's creation, but God lives outside of it. So how do you possibly take something created and try to prove that somebody lives outside of that? See, God doesn't live in time. God doesn't live in space or material. No, God's bigger than it. That's how you say, well, what was before God? Well, what do you mean before? God was before. Like, you can't have before existed. Right? See, that's confusing because before means that there has to be time. But God created time. So, there's no after and there's no before because God hadn't created it yet. It just is. He is, right? Think about that for a minute, okay? Write that down. Think about it after service. We can't stay there too long because I am in time and have to finish on time. Thank you, Alyssa. See, now, God puts his hand all up in our business because he loves us. God lives here. We say the Lord lives in your heart. Well, yeah. But he exists outside of creation. He just loves us so much he is involved in our lives. You see, God is not confined to creation, but and that just means that God is too wild to fit in the box. So science trying to put God in the box is not going to work. You know how it works if you've ever tried to give your cat a bath. He refuses unless you get the fire hose, okay? God will not be put in a box by science itself. He's the creator of it. Science is God's pet, per se. So God has no problem with it. Unless you try to use them to try to work against each other. That's the only way. The only way faith and science don't get along is when you try to pit them against each other. And see, I don't think faith will disprove science, and science will I don't think it'll disprove. If you guys have your Bible, turn to Colossians, the first chapter. I'm getting here. See, you and I, this is hard to understand sometimes because we're stuck here in creation. I mean, if I want to go to San Diego, which who doesn't, right? I love San Diego. I gotta jump in the car. I gotta make sure I don't have gas. I gotta start driving an hour and a half down to San Diego because that's how long it takes me to get to San Diego. I gotta maybe take a potty break, stop by Jack in the Box, get myself some Ultimate Cheeseburger, do whatever I gotta do, do my thing. When I get home, when I get to San Diego, I gotta stretch my legs, walk in the house, and I'm in San Diego, see my mom's house. Bam, there we go, right? Because that's what I everything I do is here in creation. God wants us to go to San Diego. He don't got to worry about it. Because God is not confined to you and I, our level of existing. In the beginning, God created. And then this other verse says this. It says, you know, God's not confined to creation. It says in Colossians, let me get there. In Colossians 1, verse 15 through 18, if you have it, put it up there. You do have it up there. Oh, he, that's Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He was there before there was there. Okay, it says in verse 16, it says this. It says right there, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, the visible and the invisible, or the thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. See, it's been said that the invisible is more real than the visible. God created spiritual things and physical things. All things were created through him and for. See, this is why I think God loves science. This is why I think God wants you to keep on thinking deep thoughts. That's why I think God wants you to keep on asking really weird, challenging questions. Because all things were created through him and for him. That's why some of the greatest... It's been said that Galileo was the greatest scientist of all time. That's like one of the titles he has. Babe Ruth, greatest baseball player of all time. Cool. Galileo, the greatest scientist of all time. He's the Sultan of SWAT, of telescopes. He says, I don't believe that the same God that gave man reason, that gave man sense, and gave man intellect intended us to forget to use them. God gave you a brain. He expects you to use it. And when you use your brain, yes, that's true. Eve, when you get an A on your test, you are worshiping God because you're using the brain you gave him. Now, if you get an F, you could take that wherever you're going to use that, okay? But if you get an A on your test, you are worshiping God. Why? Because you're using the brain. When you ask a question to get an answer you don't know, you are worshiping God. Why? Because you are trying to understand what the heck it is he created. Think about it. You using your mind says, God, you gave me a talent. I'm going to use it. I'm going to go there. God is the creator. Everything he created through him and for him. Go and give me that last verse up there, verse 18, because I'm not there in my Bible. Thank you. I'm going to beat you. All right, cool. He's the image of the invisible, the firstborn of creation. For by him all things were created, heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. You're there. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, if God is holding everything together, God's smart enough to do everything. He creates the law of this and the law of that and gravity and thermonuclear dynamics. Yeah, that's a cool word. God creates all these rules that keep your butter on your toast. He says he holds all things together by his wisdom. Then that means that science and faith, they're not in conflict. They actually complement each other. Anybody got a coin? Who has anybody a quarter, a dime, a nickel, a peso? No, don't just raise your hand. Give it to me. Thank you. Don't throw money at me. I am not that guy. I'm not going to stop it. I have another 10 minutes. Okay, so you have a coin, right? And a coin has two sides. If you only look at one side, you are getting half the story. Whoa. I'm just saying. So to understand and know the coin fully, you've got to look at both ends. If the coin was truth, faith would be heads and science would be tails. If you only do science, you got half the story. You only do faith, you only get half the story. But if you want to know the fullness of truth, you got to know both ends.
Oh. Give that man a raise.
I'll give you this dime that he gave me. No. I'm going to put this in the offering. Okay. So, but it's true. See, because God made, let me read you this verse. This is a cool verse. Okay, Proverbs 25. I think this is super red. Proverbs 25, go ahead and put it up there. Two sides, look at culture. Bam, boom. Proverbs 25, verse 2. Oh, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Wouldn't you know it? God's playing games with you. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. That's science. Right? I mean, I'm sure it also could be for nosy people, but... But aren't scientists just a bunch of really nosy people? Right? Thank you. Thank you for that. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. I mean, it's bizarre. God takes all the precious metals, and where does he put them? Underneath a ton of dirt. That's jacked up, God. God creates the perfect woman for you, and what does he do? Hides her. Right? God puts all the secrets into the universe, and he throws them out millions of light years away. And I don't know, it just takes until two millennia after Jesus raised from the dead for us to get pictures like that of a galaxy far, far away. See, it's the glory of God to and just imagine what's out there that we haven't even begun to see. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Galileo said, don't forgo reason, sense, and intellect. Louis Pasteur said, much science leads a man. You know the astronauts that went to the moon in 1970, a billion years ago, one of the astronauts, you know, when they began to circle the moon, they began to read the first chapter of the Bible. When they landed, they took a little tiny Bible, and they left it on the moon. There's a Bible on the surface of the moon. Did you know that? Genesis 1:1 is in 16 different languages on the surface of the moon right now. Like a billion years later, well, 40 years later, 45 years later. But and it's not because these men are atheists. It's because they believe. And they believe because they've seen some of the things that only a handful of men and women in all history have ever seen. They believe that there is something bigger than you and me. You see, science and faith, they're not in conflict. They complement each other. There's this crazy verse. It says in Romans 1:20. If you have it, put it up there. I don't want to flip it there because I'm holding a dime. But if you guys have Romans 1, it says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. Wait. Invisible? They're being understood by the things that are made. That's creation. That's the rocks, the trees, the galaxies. God's being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Wow. So that that's people that have never heard about Jesus are without excuse. Why? Because God has given them a certain translation of the Bible called the stars, the universe, the Milky Way, the plants, the animals, the forest. Now, I'm not saying you can worship an animal and get to heaven, okay? I'm not saying you worship the stars. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this, is that you cannot look at this thing called creation and not just begin to wonder what the heck put it here. See, science answers different questions than faith answers. The Bible answers different questions. Look, the Bible's not going to tell you how to get rid of a cold, per se. I'm not going to tell you to eat, drink chicken soup. I mean, it'll tell you to pray for it. The Bible will not tell you how to do brain surgery. The Bible will not tell you how to smelt ore. Look, what even that, whatever that means, right? The Bible will not tell you what size shoes to wear or why you should wear those because you have a high arch. You know, the Bible... The Bible answers different questions than your textbooks. for you and I to get the most out of life, you need both answers. You know, the textbooks in science may tell you how, but God will answer why. And how many people know how to do something, but their life is destroyed because they don't know why they should do it? How many celebrities, how many scientists, how many people have committed suicide because they had every answer except the why? Life is full. Life is full when you have faith in science. We're gonna do it. Yeah, Einstein said, science without God is lame. You take that however you want that one. But the glory of God is a concealed matter. The glory of King is to reveal it. There are two sides to the same coin called truth. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, it says, the heavens display God's glory. If you have it up there, put it. It says that the skies above, they proclaim his praise. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Last verse right here is Luke 19. Jesus says, look, guys, if you tell people to shut up, he says, if you tell people to be quiet, then you know what? The rocks will cry out my praise. The rocks will cry my. If you were to get a microscope and look into the depths of rocks, you would not find a bunch of things staying still. You'd find little neutrons and electrons and protons all bashing each other in. They'd be screaming and dancing, doing a Jesus dance. Electrons, weak nuclear force. It's almost like they just can't stay still. The smaller you look, they got to move because God just put that wiggle in them. Dang. Now, next couple weeks, I want to talk. And actually, we're going to do some Q&A. So you guys have a couple weeks to email, to text, to write out. If you need to put them in that prayer jar, if you don't have anything to pray for, then if you have a question, Pastor Richard, my science teacher said, my physics, my biology teacher said, if evolution this or Big Bang that or nuclear quantum theory this, whatever you got to do, or how come, why? There's no question too difficult or too simple. But, you know, in a couple weeks, we're going to do a Q&A, so get all your questions so we can answer them. We're going to do that. Next week, I want to talk about, can we talk about evolution next week? Can we do that? If you have people that don't know much about it, let's talk about a little bit about evolution and creation and all that kind of stuff. Today, I want to talk to you about how these things can play nice with each other. You don't have to choose one or the other. You don't. They can work together. You can love Jesus and love science and love discovery too. They're not enemies. We just pretend like they are sometimes. People make it out that way when it's not really. And some people, they get bent out of shape because they think they know what the Bible says, but they have no idea because they've never read it for themselves. So today I want to leave you guys with that, is that God is the creator of all things. He exists outside of this stuff because he made this stuff. So, if that's the case, then God's keeping it all together. He's making it all work out. It might get a little confusing, but God's bigger than this stuff. And if it seems like it's hard right now on you, if it seems like you have an unfair hand, if you kind of feel like God's forgotten about you, let me tell you, he is not stuck in traffic. He's not going to the bathroom. He is not angry at you. He is just waiting to work all things out because it's not time yet. So hang on. The God of all creation, the God who breathed stars, the God who set earth at the perfect distance from the sun, the God that saw you be made, interwoven in your mother's womb, is watching over you. And he would even say that he is mindful of you. So tonight, have faith and trust that God is working things out. Because if it seems like one end of the coin is stacked up against you, you just got to flip it around and you'll find that your faith will bring you through and give you the whole picture. If you guys have something for the God today, let's give him praise. In the beginning, God created. And I love it because the Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He was there in the beginning. And let me trust you. Trust me when I tell you he'll be there in the end. He's not going to leave you. And because of that, tonight, I want to ask you, what have you done with everything that God's done? 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross, put in a grave. Well, turns out he rose again, and he's alive. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's in the encyclopedia. And he did that for a reason, for you. He gave me the gift of, well, heaven. But the problem is with any gift is if somebody buys you a gift, they put it under the tree, put it on the present table, wrapped up, paid. Hey, the gift receipt's even in there. And if they give it to you, it doesn't mean anything until you take it, open it, put it on, plug it in, spend it, whatever it is. So today, God gave you this gift, but it doesn't mean anything. That's right. Jesus dying on the cross doesn't mean anything for you unless you do something about it. So what have you done with Jesus? I mean, if this was your last day on earth, where would you go? Where would you spend your forever? Because you have one of two choices, and that's heaven or hell. Pastor Richard, I don't believe in hell. Hey, that's nice. That's really convenient. But you know what? I guess they don't believe in trucks. And then jump rope on the 10 freeway, and I will get hit by a truck. Hey, look. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. So I don't think God is offended that you don't believe. I think he wants to make sure you get your beliefs right. So if this was your last day, where would you spend your forever? Well, I don't know, Pastor Richard. I guess I'd go to heaven. Why? What makes you think you'd go to heaven? Well, I don't know, because I'm a good person. Hey, that's cool. Pastor Richard, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm in church today, didn't fall asleep. Look, maybe you're thinking I grew up, did catechism, Sunday school, Sabbath school, something like that. Hey, that's cool, man. Maybe your thought is, well, Pastor Richard, I'm going to get to heaven because my mom believes in God.